Praise God. So, yes, I was younger, and I was willing to do anything he asked me to do. And there were places I went and things I did I couldn't believe. And I had witches that cursed me. I'd be taking a shower, and I looked down in the bathtub, and there was like 1,000 snakes. I'm kidding you not. They were cursing me. They were doing all kinds of things. They were calling me up on the phone, screaming at me, and then calling me up the next day, apologizing, could I come over and have dinner with them? Just hold the fort and see what God's going to do. He did every time. He made it right, every time. And I couldn't come back to my church and tell them really what was going on, because they already thought I was crazy. I was going there anyway, you know, leaving my family. And so I really couldn't tell them what was really going on. And that when I said last night about, or Thursday night, about the balls I pulled out of the backpack, the burdens, that's what I was talking about. Things like that, so that we could be a part of helping those people that were in great need. And to see how abused they were by people from America, and I say America outside, the fishermen would come up there in the summer, and they'd party, and they'd drink, and they'd rape the women. You know, oh my gosh. I mean, there were just so many things that God broke my teeth on with the ministry of Point of Hope, and being willing to listen, and being willing to discern if the person's lying to me. Because been there, done that, and I know when they're telling me the truth. Amen? So tonight, I want to know, I'm going to ask a question. Do you know who God is? Do you really know who God is? When you pray, are you praying to a living God that loves you no matter what? Whether you're good, bad, ugly, or beautiful, smart, male, female, that he loves you with everything in him, individually, which I don't know how he does that, but I know I have a lot of best friends, and I know how I do that. He made room in my heart. Amen? And he made me after him. Amen? In the likeness of him. So when you're wandering around trying to find your way, the first thing to do is find out who God really is and how you can relate to him. Amen? So I want to share a few stories, but before I do, I want to make some statements. And when I got the word this year for where we were going, God gave me this. Faith is not believing that God can, it's knowing that he will. Big difference when you believe he can, because nothing's impossible with him, but he will. He will do it. He will. You have to call upon him, and you have to call upon him with the right heart. I have friends that come to me, and they'll go, God, when I you know, at that, all those men that came, the 90 men that came, and women, I remember one guy, he was standing up there, and I wanted to pray for him, and he said, no, I just come up here just for you to just bless me, but don't pray for me. I said, do you know God? And he goes, no, I've never asked him in my heart. And I said, oh. I said, well, maybe you'll change your mind before I leave. I'll be up here. And then at the end, he came up to me, and he said, I'm never going to give him my heart because I have a rotten heart, and I've done very, very bad things, and he would never accept me. I've been so bad. I'm ashamed. And I said, then you don't really know my God. You don't really understand him. Because he's not in the business about judging all your bad or all your good. He's in the business of judging whether you're obedient. And if you ask forgiveness, first step. First step, ask forgiveness. I repent. All heaven jumps up with enthusiasm. I was there when it happened. I know what happens in heaven when somebody gives their life and when somebody is boo-booed and turns around and comes back and repents. And there's a greater celebration for that one that went the wrong way as a Christian and gave up God and cursed God and was going his own direction, and God spoke to him and he turned around and rededicated himself. All heaven rejoices in a way that you can't even imagine. Amen? There's a celebration when you give your life to the Lord. But it's really hard to bring somebody back when they met him, knew him, and left him. That breaks his heart. Amen? And you don't understand, if you're having problems with that, about forgiving yourself, you don't understand what Jesus did, and you're saying what he did wasn't good enough. When he gave his life for you, when he bore your sin, when you repented, he took it on, your disease, your sickness, you're saying, no, you didn't. I'm too bad. You decide, you judge, and you nullify God. You nullify anything he can do for you when you make that statement. And you don't want to do that. Amen? So, faith is not believing God can, but that God will. Change that mindset in your head, no matter where you're at. You know, it's so silly, some of the things that we deal with. Envy, jealousy, I just can't do it. No. I'm going to go the other way. You know, just like she kept saying that she was trying to get out of anything that God was requiring of her. It was the timing. God just happened to use me, but she was about to step into her destiny. And sometimes some of you are a little stubborn. It's me? Me? Well, yes, you. Amen? He didn't make no junk. Amen? He loves us all. He's proud of you all that made your way here tonight. Whatever motive he used to get you here, praise God. Amen? And I pray that maybe it's not anything I said or the worship declared, but maybe it's somebody when you're going out the door that speaks something into you that's going to stick with you like glue for the rest of your life because God sent them to you. And you knew it had to be from God. Amen? 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 So trust him that he doesn't want you to be jealous. He doesn't want you to be envious. He doesn't want you to be greedy. He doesn't want you not to care. He wants you to have a big heart. He wants you to have compassion. Amen? He wants you to be obedient. And I'm not talking sacrifice. I'm talking obedient. Amen? We opened up with the theme the first night. The entrance and unfolding of your word gives light. This is Psalms 119, 130, out of the Amplify. The unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to even the most simple. I remember one time this couple in Georgia came to a meeting. And they brought their boy, and their boy was about 26, 27 years old. And I'll tell you, he was the rudest kid I ever met. He was nasty, condescending, sarcastic. He'd get in my face, and he was just ugly to me. And I decided, okay, he's covering up something. So after I was done speaking, God opened his heart a little bit, and I went to pray for him. And he says, do you know that I can't even read? I didn't get taught to read. I can't read. I said, okay, we're going to take care of that tonight. I said, you're going to go to college. He said, I can't go to college. I can't even read. I just said, God's going to take care of that tonight. And you're going to go to college. He said, really? Do you know where I've been for the last 3 years? I'm going to tell you where I've been. I was out on the Aleutian chain, and he started to tell me the uglies he was doing. I said, I don't want to hear them. I'm just telling you what God wants to do today. I prayed over him that block that he could not read, God would lift up. he was going to go to college. So he left that night, and his parents come to me a week later and said all he did was read. Almost 24/7, he hardly slept. He was reading, and he was reading with comprehension and understanding. I came back after, I go in January, February, and July, and August to these areas. And so his family was kind of following me around. He's following me around. The next year, he's going to college, just like God said. Now, did I just decide he's going to speak and he's going to go to college? No. I was listening to the Lord and what he wanted me to tell him. He wasn't ashamed anymore. He wasn't ashamed anymore. Amen? And he's gone on with his life and got married and he went to college. Amen? He went to college. So, with that unfolding of understanding, discernment, and comprehension, there was a time when I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I misbehaved like a child. And when I met the Lord face to face, and by the way, I've seen Jesus face to face many times, when I met him face to face, and he was trying to give me his horse. He was wanting to give me his horse. He got off the horse and handed the reins to me. And I said, no. I mean, it was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I felt like the lowest thing on the ground. And I said, no, I don't deserve it. I am not worthy. He left. The next week, came and saw me again. I could see him in the distance coming across the desert. And he brought that white horse again. He got off of it, and he went to give me the horse. And I dropped to my feet, and I had a towel in my hand, and I was wiping the hooves off that horse. And I was going, no, no, I am so unworthy. Came the third time. What do you think happened? I started in with my no, no, and he grabbed me in the back of my neck right here and my bottom right here and flipped me on him and slammed me on that saddle. And he said, this is your horse, beautiful white horse. So then, I mean, I told Henry about it. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I talked to Bev about it because it happened at her house at prayer meetings. And so, about a week later, I mean, I don't understand it. I have a vision. And in the vision, I mean, it was like the whole world was dark. And all of a sudden, I was in a small town, a cobblestone, kind of like Fiddler on a Roof, tall buildings. It was like you could just see the skylight above the buildings. It was so dark. And all of a sudden, I heard this roaring sound, and they were holding torches, and you could hear them go, you know, it sounded like hundreds of them coming, and I don't know where they're going, but they seem to be coming toward me. And so I shimmied up the fence. There was a big fence, climbed over the fence, and jumped down into this field. And all I could see when I first got into the field, it was huge, but it was enclosed with a tall fence all the way around. And I'm looking, and there's a valley in the middle of this field, and just a tree, just a tree there with a stump. Not much of a tree because of a stump. And so I went over to the wall, and I'm walking along the wall, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm over by the wall. Maybe they can't see me. It's so dark. If I'm against the wall, they can't see me. And I'm walking along. I'm taking a step. I hear something walking behind me, and I stop. It would stop. I'd take a step. I'd hear it take a step. I was terrified. I got all the way to the end of that wall. This is so clear in my mind because God was rounding me up. Do you sometimes feel like you're getting round up? This is how he did it with me. So I get down to the end. That means the fence goes like that. So I'm going to have to turn, and I'm going to be forced to see what's behind me, and I'm terrified. I'm shaking. And I get there, and I pause, and I'm thinking what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but something is definitely behind me. And all of a sudden, that white horse hit me in the back and just went like that. And I went, whoa, and I turned around. It's that stupid horse that was following me. And he talked to me. And I know this is weird, but he said to me, do you want me to help you? This is the horse that Jesus gave me. Do you want me to help you? And I said, yes, then do what I tell you. Follow me. And he took off down into that field, down there where that stump was, and he laid down next to it. He said, lay beside me, into me. And I laid down beside. As I was starting to do that, they were coming over the wall. And it was like my image before I got secreted with that horse. Why a horse? I have no idea, but I just know this is where God grabbed me up. And I knew that I was protected wherever I went. And that horse shows up once in a while. Once in a while when I'm in ministry, I mean, he'll be there. He's watching over me. I don't know if he's there to give me a great getaway if I screw up. I don't know what he's there for. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, he did. He laid down. I laid there. And those things were, it was like he became a stone and they were jumping over him and running across. And I was underneath him, just in the cleft of a horse. That's what it was. And when they left, we both got up and we started walking the other way, and I came out of the vision. I said, Lord, what is that about? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's why my husband is okay when I travel like I travel, because he knows I am protected and watched over. But he wants to be in the plans of it all. He won't let anybody do my airplane flights or any of those kind of assignments except for what I do in America. The girls can do it. But he takes care of all my out-of-country business. And he said, I'm going to do it because I am your covering. And if anything ever happened to you and I didn't do it, I would never forgive myself that I was too busy to help take care of you. Isn't that awesome? Who said praise the Lord? I thought it was her. Praise the Lord for both of us. Amen? So, some of you, I know the verbiage out there. It's like, she thinks God talks to her. I don't think it, I know it. Amen? Am I any more special than you? No. I guarantee you, no. Am I perfect? No. But I'll tell you, there's one thing. There's a couple of things. One is I'm obedient. When he says to do it, we don't argue about it. I do it. Amen? If it's okay with Henry, and I do, we have that check and balance. I'll go to Henry and I'll say, this is what the Lord has asked me to do. Has he talked to you? Yes, he's talked to me. I've just been waiting for you to come and tell me. He never jumps ahead of God. He never does, but he always knows it before I go to him. And that's our check and balance. That's why when I told you about Russia the other night, about he said, God didn't tell me you couldn't go to Russia, but as your husband, I'm not comfortable with that. Would you honor me in that? I don't want you to go to Russia yet. I said, honey, you talk to God about it. God knows I'm willing, and if you're not, it's between you two. Amen? So Henry, I talked to him. I was in D.C. I went to the embassy for Russia to get ready because I can't go to any country till I go to D.C. And I have gone to their embassy. And it's like God always has something there or some things there that give me the heads up of what I'm facing and how to pray. And every time, and Sarah writes whatever God's speaking to me about there, and then we don't look at it till after we've been there. Then we go back and look at the notes and go, it happened this way. It happened this way. It's kind of fun for us and it keeps us excited about what we're doing. But that's the truth. I mean, it's like, oh, do you remember this and this and this? And she has it written down. And it's like, God prepares us. God has prepared the places that we go to. Sometimes that country knows we're coming there. They're getting prepared for us. That's happened. Not always good. Not always. But it always works out in God's favor. Amen? So anyway, we go to the embassy, and I was talking that night to Henry on the phone, and I said, by the way, Sarah and I went ahead and went to the embassy of Russia. Whenever you're ready, you think it's good and safe for me to go, we'll be good to go. We got our marching orders. And he said, 3 nights ago, Nancy, I got a whooping from God, a spanking from God. And I said, what did he say? He said, have you not trusted me with all these other countries? What makes you think it would be different for your wife to go to Russia? Don't you know that I'll be there to protect her? He said, I'm sorry, okay. So he said, go, Nancy, go to Russia. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, he wants to get rid of me. No, he doesn't. You know, we got such a system. I mean, we're constantly on the phone talking. And, you know, we've got I love the iPhones that we have because we can FaceTime and talk. And she's talking to her husband, and I'm talking to my husband. And, you know, honestly, some of you that are married, Henry and I probably talk more than you and your husband talk. And I'm out of the country. Amen? We communicate. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's our greatest gift in our marriage is communicating. He listens, I talk. That's not really true, is it? She's on the other, she's there when I'm, Yes, we're a good match. And I just love to know what he's doing and what he's saying. He loves to know what I'm doing and what I'm saying. We're as different as night and day, yet we love the Lord the same so much. Amen? So, you know, when I read Psalms 19, which listed out what really is in the chapter 119, is the law, the testimonies, the promise, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgment, and the word. That's the same today as it was when Psalms was written. It's the same today when God, you know, gave the law upon the mountain to Moses. It's the same. He has not changed. Amen? But what I was able to do while I was doing my preparation and studying is seeing something different. In Psalms 119, you know, Sarah and I are in agreement. It's all about the Word of God. It's our map, our spiritual map. But these are the things that I saw there that I relate to, that really touched me. One is putting the Word into action, activating. And that word activation, that's what God gave me clear back and the first conference we did and how he wanted it taken care of. He wanted that conference activated in your heart before you left. All those workshops. Amen? So he wanted the word activated in us into action. He wants us, you'll see the word established. He wants us to get established in his word. Do you know what that means? It's kind of like going to work somewhere and you don't know anything about what you're doing at work. But all of a sudden you start learning it and you get established in it and you know how to do your job and do it good. But the first month is really hard. And my son, when he was, you know, after college and he was getting jobs and he was working for this company and he just was always getting a promotion. Every time he got a promotion, he called me and he goes, I'm never going to learn this. I said, yes, you are. That's what you said last time when you got a promotion. Give it a month. Just listen. Ask questions. Whatever. Amen? So, Henry asked God, I asked him to do that. Ask God to establish you. He says, ask me to establish you in my word. That's in Psalms 119, by the way. Ask me, ask God. He's saying that to David. Ask me to establish you in my word. Have you ever picked up the Bible and read it and didn't make any sense? And then you prayed and said, God, I don't understand that. And you read it again and it starts fitting. You start understanding it. That's what I needed. You want to know why I needed that desperately? Is because I was a teacher, children's ministries, Sunday school teacher, church, you know, children's church, and then I decided I'll go ahead and be a preschool teacher at the school, and why didn't I do this a long time ago? Because I remember when I started, I sat on the couch and I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not smart enough. I don't remember good, I'll have thousands of 3x5 cards every day going through trying to teach them. I said, I can't do this. Lord, you got to help me. And he said, I will. Look in Psalms 119. Ask me to establish you in my word, and I will. And that has always been my secret. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He said, ask me. You know, he can do it, but you need to know that he will do it. Amen? And so that word establish is big. I hope you're taking notes. Ask God to establish you in your new job. He'll be delighted that you included him. You know, he likes to be involved in your decisions. Amen? Secondly, is destiny. When you read Psalms 119, 1 through 176, it's full of food. It's a banqueting table of food. Amen? And he says, destiny. You will find your destiny in Psalms. Amen? You will find liberty. You will find liberty. It's like when I first started doing what I was doing, I did have a tough time because I was doing things that only men are supposed to do. I went to churches where women didn't preach. Yet, one day Henry moved me to a church, and the pastor said, Nancy, I want you to preach. And I go, I'm not a preacher. I'm a woman. I'll go down and teach the kids. No, you need to preach. And I said, I don't believe I'm supposed to. I read the scriptures where it says women are to be quiet in the church. You know, that's where I came into the kingdom of God, understanding and believing that. And he said, Nancy, you're erring scripture. So I didn't want to, actually what God was doing is getting ready to send me to Canada and minister and to send me down to Ohio and West Virginia to minister, and I never did that in my life. And it was starting to happen. And I remember that my pastor, Steve Tolliver, down on the peninsula, he called and he said, I can't be here on next Thursday, and I want you to teach on prophecy. Now, that was my buzz button. I like to teach on prophecy. I like to teach on prayer. And so I said, yeah, but is there going to be men there? He goes, no, there will be no men there. It'll just be women. I said, okay, I'll do it. I was excited until I walked in the room, and half of the room was full of men. And Steve was sitting there. I said, Steve, what have you done? He said, I'm going to show you that you can do this. When he's the one that broke me out. He's the one later that called me and said, when Henry gets ordained as a pastor, Nancy, I'm asking you to allow us to ordain you as a pastor. I argued for 2 hours with him why I didn't want to do that. And finally, he said, Nancy, do it for the other women. You'll be able to pull it off, and it'll open the door to the other women in the church being able to step into ministry. I said, you talk to Henry about it, and then I'll talk to Henry because I don't want any misunderstanding. And what did he do? He talked to Henry. Henry walked in, and he goes, I wasn't doing this on my own. I was expecting you to be ordained with me as a pastor. And I went, well, I didn't know that. Henry, I feel called, but that's not what I feel called to. I will support you. I'll do whatever you want. He said, I want you to be a pastor with me. Okay. You know what happened? All that church that I came out of, they decided that wasn't so wise to ordain me. They did the ordination. I had friends from all over the state that came in. And when they ordained me, they ordained a new deacon. They said a few things over me and ordained my husband. Kind of slid me in a little bit. I mean, the people that went were offended because they were pastors and leaders. They thought, what just went on? They're the ones that advertised it. And then they didn't do it. I didn't understand what was going on. Then I went back to the church because it was going to be a satellite. We were just going to be a satellite church connected to that main church. And that Sunday, I went to church that morning, and I walked in. Our pictures as elders in the church were ripped off the board. I saw the prayer list. We were ripped off the prayer chain. I went to the secretary, and I said, what is going on? I'm not leaving this church. That was never my understanding. Don't let the door hit you as you're going out. My heart was broken. My husband's heart was broken. But you want to know something? I had to be a big girl. I learned to wear big girl jeans. And I had to act the way that God wanted me to act. And then we went through that process of they love you one day and they don't love you the next day. They're upset because you didn't say hi to them when they walked by you. You didn't see them. You know, and Henry and I were turning our pastor signs over. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, we knew we were just joking ourselves. But I found in Psalms 119 to walk in the liberty of what God asked me to do. And I don't really have to explain to anybody what he's doing. He'll take care of it. Amen? So when Sarah and I went to Africa, there was no problem. We were women. There was no cultural difference. We were able to minister to whoever got in front of us. They'd want us to come to their church. I got two or three different emails before we even left Africa. Will you come back and do a conference? We don't care if it's men, women, kids, whatever. Will you come back? Come back. And if I wasn't so busy, I'd be there in a New York second. But I have another thing he's asked me to do. I have to complete it. Amen? But I have the liberty to know that I'm doing what God is asking me to do, and I don't have to make excuses about being a woman trying to do a man's job, because I'm not trying to do a man's job. I'm doing what God's daughter is supposed to do for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. It still sends men in my face that'll go, poor Henry. And Henry doesn't let them do that to him. There's no poor about it. I am so proud of my wife. You know, she's doing what God's telling her to do. He went to Henry first. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. You have to let her go. Can you imagine God coming to your husband and telling you that? And Henry had to hold that in his heart for 6 months before God dropped it in me. And it terrified me. But Psalms 119 gave me the liberty to understand, okay, I can do this with him. I can do it. You know, I'm telling you this because you can do it. I look around the room. You can do it. Okay, singing. They get up there and sing. I can't carry a note, but I make a joyful sound. But that's not what he's called me to do. And if he said, I want you to get up there and sing, I would do it because he'll make it right. He's given me the liberty to know that. Amen? But there are people in this room that you haven't even got to the starting gate for your destiny. You haven't asked God to establish you in your kingdom purposes. Amen? What's another one that I discovered? His graciousness. I humbly say that because sometimes when I preach, I lift my voice up and I pray that even when I raise my voice, it's God's grace in me that has compelled me to do what I'm doing. Amen? Do I get tired? I get tired. I constantly pray for Sarah because I never want her to get weary or discouraged, you know, or that her husband says, I don't want you to do this anymore. I miss you, you know. And if he does that, that's okay, because if God lets somebody do that, he's going to give me someone else. I have to always remind myself, he will do that. Amen? He will do that. My faith started really changing when I really understood who Apostle Paul is. After I was ordained apostolic, I realized there was a kinship there with the Apostle Paul. And that was one of the people that I got to see in heaven, was the Apostle Paul. And I also got to see Apostle Peter. You can believe me if you want. You can think I am on drugs. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. Am I out of my mind? I think the Dr. Fraw will tell you I'm not out of my mind. Maybe a little emotional once in a while, but not out of my mind. So I want to tell a story. If I can read my scribbling, try to act that out a little bit. One day, this man came in the door, and he began to pull off his armor and throw it to the ground, and he's looking around, and he starts hollering for his wife and his daughters. I'm home, he says, I'm home. And they run and they hug him, but they notice there's something wrong with him. What's wrong with him? Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, it's been a tough day, one of the worst days of my life. I was chained all day to a preacher man, and all he wanted to talk about is his transformation on his way down that long road to Damascus. Did you know in the olden days, that's what they did. I say the olden days, ancient days, 200 years ago, or was it 2,000 years ago? Paul had to go to Rome, and he appealed to Caesar. So they decided, because he was a Roman citizen, that they put him in house arrest. And part of that house arrest, that he was chained 24 hours to a Roman soldier. They just did different shifts. He came home and he said, he talked about this Jesus that died on the cross for my sins. And he just carried on and he said, it was just nonsense. I have one that I'm a warrior, I'm a Roman soldier, and I have only one king or one emperor. That's it. That's where I'm sold out to. He was so angry. He went to bed. Got up the next morning, the sun was beautiful, come up over the sunrise, and he's putting his armor on, and all he can think about is, I just got to get through this day. He knew what he had to face. Kissed his wife goodbye. He said, don't be surprised if I come home early again today. And off he goes. He gets to the house, and the other guard takes the chain off, or the anklet off, and he puts it on him. And again, the preacher man begins to talk about his transformation down that long, lonely road to Damascus. And he began to tell what happened to him and how Jesus talked to him. And he just went on about sin and salvation, deliverance, and all he could think about as he's looking the other way, not even looking at him with his leg, you know, hooked to him. And I just got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. But he keeps going on and on and on. In the next segment, he's burst into his house. Where's my family? He's taking his armor off. I got some news to tell you. You know that preacher man that he had a transformation going down that long road, Damascus road to Damascus. He said, He told me about salvation and eternal life. And I am saved. I am forgiven. Amen? And this family got saved. And they got delivered. Amen? Amen? That's what jazzes me. Sometimes I get shackled to somebody that's tough. Yes, Evelyn was running away from me. Where is she? Is she here? She was running from me. But she wasn't going to get very far because God already gave me her number. And yeah, we teased her. We did. Her sister called me and said, "Are you still serious about taking Evelyn on a missionary trip?" I said, "Yes, I'm going to the Kuskokwim." She says, "I'll pay her way. Call her and tell her you want her to go." I said, "Well, we'll cover her fare." "No, I'm going to pay her way." So I called Evelyn. I said, "Evelyn, the thing is," I said, "I don't want you to dress up. Just wear jeans and just a regular shirt and a warm dress down." She said, I will. She come walking through that airport in a 3-piece suit and tennis shoes. I said, "Evelyn, I told you to dress down." "I did. Look at what I'm wearing." And she points at her shoes. So you talk about teasing. We did. We told them at the airport that I got a new friend. We're taking her over. She's never done this before. Just give her VIP treatment. "I will." She says, "How about if I offer window or aisle?" And it just carried on. It did. Evelyn came back different from that trip. She really did. She really did. That's when I found out what a heralder of God's words and prophecies is in her. And it would just, I'd stand there and I'd look and I could see it. And I'd go, "Evelyn, just let it out. Just say it. Just let it out." And she'd come out with it. And it was like a shofar of life that came out of her mouth. And it still does when she prophesies. I don't know where she is, but anyway, that was one story that I wanted you to hear about a Roman soldier that met Paul. Wouldn't you like to meet Paul? I got the opportunity to go to Malta. And that was one of the countries we went to pray. And we went swimming in the bay where his ship broke up. And right there on that island of where all those rocks were, where the ship broke up that he was on, that the angel said, "Not one life will be lost if you all stay on the boat. Stay on it. Stay on that ship. Don't bail out." And nobody jumped out. They got rid of a lot of their weight of their boat, and it would crumble to pieces. And today, there's a giant statue of what they think Paul looked at like out on those rocks. And we got to swim there, and we got to go around where people would say, "Paul went here, Paul went there." And it was awesome to walk in his footsteps. It just was awesome. Amen? The other place I wanted to share with you, if I have it here, is, not to give up. Please don't give up. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we all do this. You can see yourself do this. There was a woman, her name was Florence Chadwick, and she was a long-distance swimmer, hold a lot of world records. And she decided that she wanted to fly or swim from, I think, Catalina Island to the California coast. Now, this is all my old stopping grounds where, till I was 17 years old, between 10 and 17, that's where I went. I had an aunt that lived out on Catalina Island. And I'm from Fresno, California, born in Downey, California. All my relatives were all over California. So that's where we were always going. And so this leaped out at me because here she is getting ready to swim that distance. I can't remember how far it was, how many kilometers right now. But she got into the water and she knew that she had three obstacles. One was dense fog. What? Would I?
Microphone is squawking. You're okay.
Oh.
Sounds okay now.
I didn't hear it. Anyway, dense fog, sharks, an extreme cold water. When she got into the water, she couldn't even see the boats that were, there were several boats that were kind of going alongside of her, trying to protect her in case a shark did come after her. And it's very shark infested. So she's swimming and swimming and swimming, cold, and she could not see. Every once in a while she'd get bumped. It was a shark. It was cold, very cold. And she finally said, I can't do it anymore. I need to get out of the water. Get me out of the water. Her coach says, no, I think it's just a little bit further. Hang in there. We're going to get you to the shore. She said, no, I can't see the shore. I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm freezing. So they pulled her out of the water. Within 20 minutes, they told her she was less than a quarter of a mile from the shore. Why didn't she make it? Because she couldn't see the end of her goal. Why don't we make it? We don't trust God to the finish. We got to keep our focus on God. Amen? So what she did was 2 weeks later, and she broke the time again, but she went in the water. It was a clear day. She could see where she was going. She did it. She did it in record time. It was just amazing, faster than anybody had ever did it. In our lives today, we need to recognize that we quit too soon. When we lose focus of why we're doing something, sometimes we think, well, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, I thought God asked you to do this. Did he change his mind? Do you think he changed his mind? I don't think so. I know people come alongside of me and say, hey, I'm committed. I'm going to do this. Have you counted the cost? Does your husband, is he in agreement with you? You know, a couple months later, I really didn't count the cost. I am sorry. I said, God didn't ask you to do this, did he? She said, no, I want to do it. I wanted to do it. See, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord always. When we're challenged, when we're in the challenge, and when we get to the finish line. Because there's a guy that wrote a book on God's generals. What was his name? Robert Lyrdon. And I love that book. It's sad, though, because all those generals, God's generals, were many, many men and women that were so successful, mostly at the beginning of their ministries, but by the time it was the end, they got off track, got into sin, and had lost their anointing. God didn't take it away from them. They lost it. They laid it down. Amen? I don't want to be like that. I don't want any of you to be like that. I mean, it's like I'm on a course. Lord, I want to finish it strong. I want to finish it strong. I wished I would have started it when I was a lot younger so I had more time. But I think he's going to even meet me in that time to get it done. Amen? I have 4 years to get all those countries done. Actually, 3.5 today. Amen? Amen. I asked you at the beginning about, do you know who God is? I'm going to share with you some secrets about God that I want you to write down. Amen? I just have to see where I put my notes. I told some of you this morning that because of something Sarah said, our names are very important. Our names describe who we are. Do you know what your name means, Kim?
Yes.
What? Means what? Chief? Chieftain, yes. Sarah, what does your name mean?
Princess.
Sharon, what does your name mean? Fruitfulness. Karen, or Tracy, what does your name mean?
Courage.
Debbie, what does your name mean?
Bee.
Busy bee. And she is. She's all administrative in everything. Amen? And she's a great grandma. Exciting grandma. Yes. I meant you're a great as in pretty good. You did not choose your name. Your parents did not choose your name. They chose to listen to God, what He said to name you. Did you know that? And sometimes you get a name, and it wasn't the name He chose for you, and all of a sudden you're finding out your name is getting changed, and you're wondering why. Because God wants you to walk in your real name, what He intended, because that's what you're working in. It's His grace working in. Nancy means full of grace. And that's derived from Hannah. Hannah, the name Anne, full of grace. Anna, full of grace. Amen? Those are the things that God is working out our destiny in. Amen? Do you know what your name means?
Sun.
Sun and moon. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, if you want to know who God is, let's look at His names that I think are important to me to know. And I think they're going to be important for you to know. They're very, very powerful. Amen? There's great power in your name if you believe. Amen? And He's still working on me. Amen? God wants you to know that He's powerful. He's a strong tower. He will support you. You come running to Him. You won't be denied. Run into Him and be saved. Amen? No matter what's going on in your life. Amen? And God said, listen to My Son. This is the New Testament law. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That would take care of a lot of problems in this world if we would follow that. The two royal laws. Amen? The first one is Elohim. What does Elohim mean? It means God is incredible and He's mighty. You need to know that nothing is impossible to Him if you believe. If you believe, and if you seek Him diligently, the rewards. Amen? The rewards. The second one, and that's out of, if you look in Psalms 19:1, it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. All you have to do is go out that door and look at the mountains, and oh my gosh, how can you not appreciate God's creation? Amen. As Ilona was sharing about all the things in front of her that she was discouraged and frustrated about, and about her garden, and you know, it's you know, it should be spring, and it's still sputtering wintertime here. And then God has her look at the mountains and how beautiful they are. Amen. When I look at the mountains when they're snow covered white, it's like, that's my heart, Lord. Just make it white as snow. Amen? Also in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, guess who created the heavens and the earth? God. I mean, if there's anything between you and God, you're in error. He's got to be the greatest thing in your life, the most important thing in your life. And when you make Him that way, then that is a plus for you because He is so blessed. Our Father is blessed. Yahweh, the Lord, He says, I am, I am. And what did He say to Moses when Moses says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't go to Israel and say, God told me to come here and tell you, you got to come out with me and you're going to be okay. And He said, no, He said, this is what you're going to say. I am that I am. Has told me to tell you to come out. I am who I am. See, if you know that God's word is truth and sustaining and never goes away, He will move mountains in your behalf. He will. He will move mountains in your behalf. And walking in faith, I remember a story when I went to Egypt with some other friends. We went to Egypt and we went to the Coptic church and we heard the story about how the Christian Coptic priests were going down to Egypt. And at that time, it was the pharaohs that were in charge and they let them be there. But then after a certain seasons, then the Turks start coming in, the Persians start coming in, and they were leaders. So here's this new leader And he calls the Coptic priest to come to where he's at, the palace. And he says, I read in your writings that you teach that you believe that you can move mountains with the faith of a mustard seed. He said, yes, that's the truth. He said, good. Then you're going to appreciate what I said. I'm going to give you 3 days to move that little hill out there. I mean, we live in Alaska, so we know what mountains are. That was a hill. He said, remove that hill in 3 days, or I'm going to remove your head.